And we're back. This is episode 39 of the Tap Room Podcast. I'm your host, Mike. I have my brother-in-law, Josh, on with me today for the intro. But this is going to be the episode with Brian Rodriguez from Big Brian's Meats. Honestly, a really cool guy. Makes great barbecue. Make sure if you do ever see him, get his or try his tri-tip chili. It was phenomenal. But yeah, everything he put out, his mac and cheese was great, his shotgun shells and all that good stuff. So I will put the timestamp in the description for when the interview starts. But what's going on, brother?
What's up,
man? Yeah.
Good to be back.
Yeah, back again. I'm up here visiting up in Tulare or Tulare, whatever.
Tular.
There you go, either way. So up visiting. Actually got to hang out with Ryan Hansen at AKA Big Pot Brewing on Instagram. We got to brew yesterday. It was my first time ever brewing. We made a brown ale. I got to try like the unfermented portion of it. It was actually came out pretty good. But we'll have to wait about 10 days till it's done, and then he's gonna send me some cans.
Oh, heck yeah.
Oh yeah, I can't wait to try that. But we do have a couple brewskis here. One of them is from that a can art that Jake designed from Brewery X, but we're going to start with this one from Noble called Yoga Pants. We actually talked about it a little bit, but I didn't give it a score when I was over at Noble when we recorded the intro. Yoga Pants, it's a can with a bunch of cans on it. And it's a golden milk stout with pumpkin spice. It's got allspice. It's got a bunch of different, it's got cinnamon, ginger, cloves, allspice, and nutmeg coming in. And it's a golden milk stout coming in at 5.4%. Let's crack her open, eh? Crack her open, you hoser. There we go.
Good one. I'm expecting to have, like, all those tastes. You know, all the flavors.
Oh,
I'm expecting every single one of them to come out.
Oh, yeah. And that's the one thing about with, like, I love that they do a lot of golden milk stouts. Because, I mean, don't get me wrong, I like regular stouts, but it is kind of stout season. But I love, like, their naughty sauce is really good. They did, like, a Cinnamon Toast Crunch one, stuff like that. All of them came out really good. Cheers, brother.
Cheers.
Let's go. Oh, yeah, that's good.
Oh, that's super good.
Yeah. Dang, that's really good. I had it the first time last week. But, man, yeah, they... Like Jimmy and Paul really, really outdid themselves with this one. It came out really, really good. What do you think? How are you feeling about it?
I think it's extremely smooth.
Oh yeah.
And I mean the taste. I mean getting pretty much a lot of the taste.
Mm-hmm.
The pumpkin especially.
Oh
that
yeah.
That's like one of the things that hit me the most.
Yeah.
But yeah, super smooth. Very, very tasty.
Yeah, it's like really, you get like that creaminess obviously from like the golden milk stout, but mm-hmm. It's also not like super heavy either.
Yeah.
It feels kind of light and it's, you know, I feel like some stouts I can only have maybe one or two. This one I feel like if I had a whole four pack, I'd probably be okay.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. No, that's extremely light. Yeah. I give it a solid 9.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm right there with you. I was teetering between like an 8.5 and a 9, but I think it's definitely a 9. Like I said, Paul and Jimmy, the two brewers. Oh, and also, crap, I can't Cameron. I was trying to remember the other guys because of the three brewers at Noble, and they're all freaking great dudes.
Yeah, I mean, for me, like, I'm not a huge pumpkin guy anyway, pumpkin spice.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know too many people who are huge pumpkin spice people, but yeah. I mean, this is the season for it,
mm-hmm.
And I mean, this is really well done.
Oh, yeah.
Hands down, it's really well done.
Yeah, it's that time of year, and actually tomorrow when I get home from Tulare, I'm going to be recording with Romeo and Bruliette. They're going to be doing a Stoutsgiving episode. That episode's going to get fast-tracked because Thanksgiving's coming up quick.
Oh, yeah.
So that'll be out next Sunday, but we're each going to bring a couple stouts. We got a couple fun games we're going to do. One of them is going to be called Legends of the Hidden Turkey, and it's going to be like you got to pick, characters from movies or video games like to go on your quest to find that hidden turkey or the last turkey on Earth or whatever, like that.
Nice.
So that should be pretty fun. College football is going on right now. Michigan's playing Penn State. Penn State's down. Was it 17-9 last time I think we saw?
17-9, yeah.
So that should be a good one. I mean, Penn State's, their defense is playing pretty well, but I feel like Michigan's defense is, you know, stepping it up big time, especially with everything going on with Harbaugh. Now he's going to miss 3 games. He's trying to appeal it, I guess, but he couldn't get a court date or couldn't get a date in court today or yesterday.
Well, and that's just the Big Ten Commission, too.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, that's not even NCAA putting sanctions down or anything like that, so.
Yeah, because, I mean, like, I feel like on some level, you got to know what your scouts are doing or your assistants are doing.
Yeah.
I mean, and I like Michigan. I've always loved, like, their jerseys and, like, you know, kind of, like, even going back to, what was the old coach? He was there for, like, forever. He was there ever, like all the years I was a kid. I can't remember his name at the moment, though. I'm drawing a blank. I'll think of it after. But yeah, looking forward to that. And SC's playing Oregon, probably going to get rolled. But I did take the over in that game.
That was the point. That's what you got to do.
You know, SC, with SC's defense, they're just not very good.
Well, hey, you know what? There might be a turnaround like the Raiders did last week.
It could be, yeah.
You know, I mean, huge shakeup, and the team comes out just like, now their hands are free.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that could be it. Yeah. And that's my hope, at least.
Yeah, I mean, like, you hope that they want to play for whoever they're, because I don't think they really said who was going to be calling the plays on defense, but my first thought was, like, Sean Nua from, he was the guy, the defensive line coach for SC, but he was the guy that came over from Michigan.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think there's a chance there, but I think everybody kind of, like, well, at least fans, all the fans want them to go out and hire somebody else and not just, you know.
Oh, for sure.
Bring, like, you know, like, LO, like, promote someone from within.
Yeah.
But we'll see. Who else is playing today? Georgia and Ole Miss.
Ole Miss, yeah.
And Georgia was pretty heavily favored the last time I checked. I haven't checked the odds today. But I think I took Georgia just straight up to win. But, I mean, I know Ole Miss hasn't beaten Georgia, I feel like, in forever.
Yeah, and Ole Miss actually is doing pretty good this last, like, three or four games.
Yeah. I mean, they kind of struggled early on. Like, they couldn't really get things going. And then when they were playing early on with, like, Jackson Dart was so, like, Jekyll and Hyde. Like, you didn't know what you were going to get from them.
Yeah.
So, but, I mean, we'll see. Oh, and also, I forgot about the World Series because I've been so doing intros with other stuff I've been forgetting to talk about. But congrats to the Rangers for winning the World Series. I mean, I feel like the Diamondbacks just ran out of steam, kind of like how the Phillies did last year in the World Series.
I think they gave it all in that blowout second game. And that was just like that was their last bit of effort. Like, that just gave everything. And then all of a sudden it was like, hey, yeah, I mean, we're spent. They had a rough postseason.
Yeah. I mean,
not that it was like hard, but I mean, they played a lot.
Yeah.
It was just a lot of baseball.
Mm-hmm. And with the Diamondbacks, too, they're not a home run hitting team. They're like singles and doubles, getting on base, moving guys over, stuff like that. So
small ball.
That's
baseball, though.
Yeah, exactly. But like with the Rangers were just fucking just pounding home runs.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know.
Seager, man, that freaking.
Oh, and they even did it without Adolis Garcia.
Yeah,
and it was like crazy. Yeah. I was like, man, and he was like hitting bombs like it was nobody's business. He had at one point, I think, before he got hurt, he had 8 home runs total in the playoffs. I was like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's like Barry Bonds numbers back in the
exactly.
day.
Yeah, exactly. Just think, and, you know, I hate the Astros and all, but Altuve's still sitting there, you know, like with 25 or 26 or something like that.
And, I mean, they're probably going to make it back to the postseason. He'll probably hit a couple more next year.
Yeah, and be top for sure.
Yeah, and it's not like he's like old either, so he's still got plenty of time, and I don't really see the Astros going anywhere. Even if they don't win the division next year, they'll still probably be a wild card team.
Sure.
But yeah, your Angels got Ron Washington from the Braves.
Yeah.
I think that's really good hire. I mean, I know he was kind of doing some stuff with the Rangers way back when, but I loved him with the Braves. He was just that like no nonsense kind of attitude, like let's get after it.
And bringing his experience, you know, I honestly think you know, with the Angels, you know, that rumor that they're going to sell.
Yeah.
That was a huge turnoff for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And then, you know, just keeping Phil Nevin there for, you know, for that interim.
Mm-hmm.
And then that last, you know, this past year was a smart move.
Yeah.
However, you know, I think their expectations for him were just a bit high.
Yeah.
And then, you know, good thing. Yeah. Ron Washington's going to bring all that experience.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be huge.
Yeah.
I truly believe that Ohtani is going to stay with the Angels.
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, I'm going to say the Dodgers probably have the best shot for him.
Yeah. I think there's only a few teams out there that are really in the race. I feel like it's the Dodgers, maybe the Mets, and the Yankees or Giants, maybe. I think those are the only four teams. Because even, like, I guess, like, the Padres are in debt now because of all the moves that they made. So I would have thought, like, the Padres could have made sense, too, with that lineup.
I'm going to go back to Ohtani.
Yeah.
He has a direct flight.
Yep.
You know, back to home anytime he wants to from LA area.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I mean, that's truly what I think. I heard San Francisco at one point too. But
yeah.
I mean, he's going to stay in Southern California.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what it is. I think he owns a house already there and he's not moving.
Yeah. I think that's a safe bet. I think the Dodgers are a safe bet. We got to see what else they're going to do. I mean, obviously, if you just sign Ohtani and, I mean, you bring some guys back, but I don't know if they're going to try to bring Bellinger back. You don't know if they're going to try to bring back Justin Turner.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if they're willing to fork out the cash, I mean, that's the thing. There's no salary cap in baseball, so.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, especially about the Dodgers, and I'm not a huge Dodger fan whatsoever, but, I mean, everybody that they sent to Boston, they're getting them right back.
they got Kike back. So they're probably going to get Turner back. Yeah.
Yep. And it's a revolving door for them. And, I mean, it's bound to happen. And I really think that even if, you know, it comes down to getting Ohtani, you know, Justin Turner, Bellinger, they would all play for the Dodgers, even at a lesser rate or their last rate, you know?
Yeah.
Just because it's the Dodgers, they're back home.
Oh, of course.
So I think that's a no-brainer for him.
Mm-hmm. And so. I feel like even Bellinger, when he declined his option with the Cubs, like, you kind of knew, like, well, he signed a one-year deal with an option, you know, with the Cubs. You knew he was just betting on himself, and he did well. He hit over 300, so, I mean, what more can you ask for?
Yeah, and no kidding, he shined. He needed a break.
Yeah. Sometimes that change of scenery helps.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's going on. What else? I mean, hockey's back, but, I mean, the Avalanche are kind of, I mean, they're okay. They're 8-3 right now, 8-4 or 8-3, I can't remember. But, I mean, they're doing okay. We'll see what happens. College football, I'm excited. I mean, it's cool as the season comes to an end, or it's exciting because, like, the whole playoff picture. But then you're also, fuck, you're like, damn, the season's ending.
Yeah.
Because we wait all year for it, or half a year for it, and then it's just gone in a flash. So.
I know. Feels like it starts, and by the time it gets cold, dune, it's done.
Yeah.
You put a jacket on, and season's over.
Yeah, pretty much. That's what it feels like. Even the yesterday morning when I woke up to go brew with Ryan, I was like, oh, a little chilly out. It was like my thermometer, or the thermometer in my car just kept saying 41. I was like, fucking A.
It was freezing. It ain't getting warmer out here.
Yeah, it's getting warmer. I think it jumped up like 1 degree, like a half hour into the drive. I was like, oh, it's getting warmer.
Yeah.
So we crack open this next one.
Let's do it.
All right. This one's called Beware the Hot Man. Jizzy did this one. It's Goosebumps inspired. It's a snowman. With he's got his, you know, is that what's the thing called? Carrot nose and a couple of cans. Looks like he's gonna about to, you know, slam those two together like Stone Cold. And there's a little keg in the back. So let's do it. This one is a IPA coming in at 7%. This is from the West Coast series. Let's see here. There we go.
Good one.
Cracker open, eh?
I'm looking forward to these, you know, like everyone that, you know, Jizz, you know, brings out.
Yeah.
I mean, I just love these cans.
Oh, for sure.
You know?
He does such a great job, and he has some new ones that he's been working on that are freaking awesome, and I can't talk about them right now, but I mean, I can show you pictures after. But yeah, he's got some really cool new ones that could be coming out. I think he's now designing like his 8th or 9th can, but like for other ones that just haven't come out yet. So that's exciting. And I've mentioned it to him a couple times, but I want to have him on the show so I can talk to him about his process of like what it goes from like start to finish when it comes to, you know, starting the design or coming up with that design.
Aspect.
Yeah. That whole thing. So hopefully he'll want to do it with me.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Cheers.
But cheers, brother.
Yeah, I could smell it right off the, I mean,
oh yeah.
As soon as
super piney, super piney, danky. The IBUs on here are probably a little high, but I like it. It's not my favorite, like my favorite one from Ruby X that I've had, but it's still really good.
Yeah, it's super good.
I would probably give this like a 7.5.
Yeah, I was going to say pretty much the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you on the 7.5. I'd even go 8. I mean, I'm going to wait till we get to the, you know, a little bit bottom to see if I'll change it. But just like, you know, the yoga pants, man,
oh, yeah.
You started getting that that stout, you know, that coffee taste towards the end,
yeah,
you know, or the latter part of it, and pretty smooth. But this, I like to see what the end tastes like too. So,
and this one has like, it kind of lingers on the palate too.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I agree.
It's a good head on it though.
Oh, for sure.
It's a good head, Charles. Oh man, but I know it's been a fun couple days being able to come up here, hang out with you guys, and go do that with Ryan yesterday. And you're actually working, because of your business, Blue Line Flooring, you're working on a brewery right now. Well, you guys are just about done. You have one more thing to do, right?
Yep. Yeah, one more thing to do. Brewery is Burning Sun Brewery Company, and they're out of Clovis as well. I've already spoken several times to them about you and this podcast, so I'm sure it's very well accepted when you're going to have time to do
it. Oh, yeah. I'd be down to come. Yeah, next time I come up, I'd be down to go talk to them.
Yeah, everybody's super cool in this industry, of course, you know, but same with these guys. I mean, they've outgrown their area so much, and now they're going to be able to have a tap room.
Awesome.
You know, brew some beer in a larger scale, and then be able to have it, you know, the tap room as well.
Yeah, and that space that they got is huge. It's a really big space.
It is, yeah. It was a previous brewer that was there before. It's called Tactical Ops.
Yeah.
And they were all military related. But I mean, just, you know, for what we're doing there, I mean, it was, you know, a lot of work.
Yeah.
I mean, tons of work that need to be done on that floor, especially in their brew area. I mean, with all the chemicals that are going to be used, caustic acid.
And, yeah.
You know, it's just extremely hard on concrete.
I bet, yeah.
So, you know, we had to lay down some urethane cement, and then we ended up using another system around the other areas that are going to be pretty much foot traffic and, you know, some light, you know, walking, stuff like that. But, I mean, for the most part, we were about a day behind just from materials got delayed, but ultimately it's going to be fantastic when we get this last, because it's a cold storage room.
Yeah.
So once that cold storage room is done, we'll finish up probably Tuesday morning. It'll be good to go.
Yeah, so. It looked really cool. And I mean, because we and Ryan and I, after we finished brewing and recording, we went down over there to Burning Suns and got to just kind of see like the flooring and stuff like that. It looked really nice. Everything looked really good.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Yeah, it does transform. It transforms it for sure.
Oh, and it makes it, it looks like a cool space. And then even with Ryan, you might have another job up there to do.
Yeah.
So.
Hey, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. Glad we were, you know, he brought up 82nd. Yeah, we were both in the 82nd. So it's like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. And you guys were both in North Carolina at one point. Yeah. So yeah, he was, we talked about that a little bit off air the first time I talked to him. So he's just a super nice guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, super down to earth, letting me come up there and, you know, showing me the ropes and letting me brew and stuff like that. And me making me do a lot of the work, which was cool because I loved it. I mean, I love that aspect of it because I've always wanted to do it. So.
Well, yeah. And that, I mean, how else are you going to learn?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also because Veterans Day was yesterday. Technically today, but when this comes out, it'll be yesterday.
Yeah.
So just want to say thank you, Josh, because you being a veteran. Thank you. And then obviously to my dad, to all, you know, all my other family members, and Ryan as well, who was obviously 82nd. But all my family members and all the veterans out there, thanks for everything you guys do. You know, it's appreciated, and you know, you guys don't get enough credit for all the stuff you guys have to go through.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. I'm very thankful for my service. I was honored to serve, and you know, I can't thank those who continue to serve and those who served before us.
Yep.
You know, I can't thank them enough.
Oh yeah.
Brave, brave souls, man. Brave, definitely. Brave kids.
Yep. Well, like I said, I appreciate you being on, brother. Well, everybody stay tuned for the outro, but we're going to start with the interview with Brian Rodriguez at Big Brian's Meats. He has a residency over at Lahara Brewing in Norwalk. It's a cool little spot. It's kind of hidden a little bit, but it's a really cool little brewery. I'm actually going to be talking to Derek and Jason, the owners, and Derek is a head brewer. We're going to be talking in 2 weeks, I think. We're going to be hanging out. Next week. I think I have to check my calendar. I'll confirm that. But hope you guys enjoy the interview. Stay tuned for the outro. All right, guys, we're back in the tap room, and I am your host, Mike. I have a very special guest on today, Brian Rodriguez of Big Brian's Meats, barbecue pop-up. We're over here at Lahara Brewing over in Norwalk off of Carmenita and Excelsior. What's going on, brother?
How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. I'm glad we finally got to do this. I know it's been busy.
I've been chasing you for a while. So.
all good, man. I'm glad we got to do it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, one thing I love to do is just support ball, like any type of small business that's putting out awesome shit.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I got to try your barbecue a little bit ago, but I'm going to hear your story first. Oh, it was awesome. I tried the mac and cheese. Delicious. Yeah. Tried the tri-tip chili.
Yes.
The ribs and also your smoked shotgun shells were amazing.
Perfect. Thank you. Yeah.
So, man, I always love to ask, first off, what are you drinking?
So this is the Oktoberfest Fest beer that they just brewed up here at Lahara.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, they did it for Oktoberfest, obviously.
Awesome.
But it is like a German style Pilsner.
Yeah.
For the season, but that's what I chose. How about yourself? What do you
I'm drinking one called the Hoppy Gemini, and it's the Pilsner. It's kind of piney,
nice.
But super crispy though. It's actually really good. And this other one that I haven't tried it yet, but it's their West Coast.
Oh, good.
Yeah, got to double up sometimes. You got to get a little tester
and then a full one.
But yeah, man, I'm kind of curious of just when you started, started Big Brian's Meats.
Yeah.
And all this sort of stuff.
So it's an interesting story for me because I've always loved to cook ever since I was a kid.
Okay. Same here.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So grew up kind of watching my mom. My mom was the cook. You know, nuclear family. My dad went off to work. Mom was home taking care of the kids.
Yeah.
And kind of grew up in my mom's kitchen.
Okay.
Learning her recipes. I was relegated to salad guy at the beginning. I can only make salads. That's like that's all they trust me with.
Yeah.
Whatever. That's fine. I learned how to chop. Learned how to do all
that.
That's
kind of how they do it in restaurants, though, too, right? Exactly. Like you start up a salad guy.
Yeah. So I mean, I was starting to bust tables at the beginning of my family meals. And then,
I got it.
Promoted to salad guy.
Awesome.
So I was that. But, you know, then I'd watch my mom work the stove and work the grill and do all that stuff. And then, you know, I would just be kind of curious, ask her more about, what kind of seasonings do you use here and recipes and this, that, and the other. So cooking's been like just a natural passion of mine for my whole life. So that's just kind of a little backstory. I almost went to culinary school after high school.
Okay.
I did a couple tours with Cordon Bleu in Pasadena, I think.
Awesome.
And for whatever reason, I just decided this is not the time for that. Okay.
Yeah.
So then I ended up going to film school.
Oh, man. As it went completely the other direction.
I know, right? Like left and right. So I went to Cal State Northridge, got my film degree. Worked in the industry for about 15 years, primarily as an editor.
Okay.
Edited a few feature films.
Awesome.
Yeah, worked for some, you know, big projects. And then after that, I went into teaching.
Oh.
Believe it or not, I became a teacher.
Yeah. Were you teaching, like, film?
Or yes.
What? Okay,
yeah,
there
yeah,
you
yeah,
go.
Yeah. Because my wife, she's been an English teacher, high school English teacher, for 23 years.
Oh, wow.
And when I hooked up with her, I was like, you know, I work on these productions and it's like, you know, people don't know what they're doing all the time. Like I think I should teach. And so I did. So I did that for about 8 years, from like 2015 to 2023. And then just kind of went through another change of season. You know, COVID really just...
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Wrecked.
Yeah.
So much. You know what I mean?
Fucked over everybody.
It did. And the fact that I went through being a teacher during COVID, and I talked to all these other teachers, and they're like, this is the fucking craziest time we've ever been in teaching. Like, and I was a part of that. It was weird. But it was, you know, it's like you have to improvise. You have to kind of just make it work.
Of course.
Yeah. So after that, I just was like, I want to do something else. So I ended up resigning in June of 22. And then in summer... That summer, I woke up one day and I was like, in the middle of the night, actually, and I told my wife, I want to start a barbecue company.
Oh, wow.
And she's like, okay, sounds great. Go back to bed.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
Let me sleep, right? Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, so then that kind of birthed the launching of Big Brian's Meats.
Yeah.
you know, I just started out by cooking for some neighbors, friends in the area. The name Big Brian's Meats actually came from a neighbor of mine. Shout out to Felix if he's going to hear this.
There you go.
But he was just like, you know, how about Big Brian's Meats? And I was like, okay, that sounds kind of funny. But then the more I thought about it, I'm like, that's actually kind of a catchy name. So started in July 22. So we're about a year and a half old.
Awesome.
We do catering. We do pop-ups. Just all kinds of stuff. And it's just been a wild ride coming from a different world from academia.
Yeah, of course.
And then now we're here. We are.
Yeah, I mean, going from cooking to then to film school, and then you know, then teaching, and then you know, now this.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I'm, you know, I'm of the mentality that it's never too late to reinvent yourself.
Oh, for sure.
You got one crack at this thing.
Yep.
We call life. So, you know, if it's if you have the resources and you can do it, why not?
Yeah, and enjoy it while you can. Man.
Exactly.
It's like that was a quote. It's a George Strait song, but it said, "I ain't here for a long time. I'm here for a good time."
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's actually one of my mantras.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. What I say. Yeah, yeah. And then also with my our customers, they're asking like, "Oh, what's on your menu?" Blah blah. And I said, "Look, I'm not here to make you healthy. I'm here to make you happy."
Exactly. Because I mean, that's what it's all about. I mean, comfort food is the best food.
That's right.
I mean, and sometimes we eat too much of it. Sometimes we eat too little of it. We gotta find a happy medium. But
that's right.
I mean, I eat that way all the time.
Yeah.
I can't stop myself.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're trying to infuse some healthier, lighter options. In fact, I had somebody ask if we had any vegan options the other day, and
oh, yeah.
Like, no disrespect to the vegan community at all, but like,
I get it.
My name's Big Brian's Meats.
Yeah,
I mean, you got to kind of know coming into it.
Yeah,
that's what you're gonna get.
Yeah, I mean, if you're reading that, you're like, all right, right. Come on, you know.
Like, I think I know what this guy's gonna.
Yeah. It's like going to a Texas barbecue place, and yeah, you know, I'm sure they have like right. You know greens or something like that, right. But you know.
Yeah, you don't go to Texas for their salads.
Exactly. You know, obviously that journey that you went through with all of that, what was it that flipped the switch when it came to just barbecue? Did you always enjoy like barbecue or like pit barbecue?
Yeah, and that sort of stuff? For sure. That's a great question. I think growing up, as I would see my mom's cooking in the kitchen, my dad was actually the big barbecue guy.
Okay.
So he would be grilling it up in our backyard, Weber kettle grill.
Yeah.
Straight up old school Kingsford charcoal.
Yep.
He'd be squirting on the lighter fluid and
making
those big ass,
big old
I'm like, dude, we're grilling four hamburgers, Dad. Why are you? But he wanted the bonfire, right? Like,
yeah.
I guess it was a 2-for-1 kind of thing. But just watching my dad and his process, his big thing was porterhouse steaks and filet mignons.
Oh, yeah.
You
ate well then.
We did. And then once in a while, he actually introduced me to shark. I don't know. Have you ever eaten shark before?
I've had shark once.
Yeah. Yes. What'd you think?
It was like, I didn't think it was rubbery, but I mean, I don't know if it was just the way like it was prepared.
Right, right.
But it was still like, I remember like thinking it wasn't bad. But
yeah,
I was
yeah.
also like 8 or 9 years old.
Right.
Yeah.
See, that was me too. I was like, well, I've heard about sharks.
Yeah.
I know they kill people, so I'd rather eat the shark than eat
I've
eat
seen
me,
Jaws.
So. Yeah, exactly. So my dad doing the barbecuing, I think he would do kebabs, just all different kinds of barbecue, and that kind of got me interested. But truth be told, in 2015, I acquired a Traeger grill.
Okay.
When Traeger was kind of just starting out.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, they were like infomercials.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
Remember all that thing? Like, buy a Traeger, 39 and whatever.
Yeah, now they're everywhere.
Yeah. So my uncle was gifted a Traeger by my cousin and my aunt. And my uncle's not a chef or grill master by any means.
Yeah.
He was using it to make, like, hot dogs.
Oh, jeez.
And so... So he asked me, he's like, do you want this? And I was like, yeah, how much? He's like, $100. I'm like, freaking sold.
Yeah.
So, and he's like, including delivery. And they live, we're in Lakewood. We're based out of Lakewood.
Okay.
He's up in like El Sereno area.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So he drove it down, delivered it, $100. I'm like,
it's
sold.
Deal.
Yeah. So I started experimenting with smoky meats. Just like, I would do briskets, ribs, pork shoulders, pork tenderloin. That was actually like my first foray. And then I started doing it for like parties and family gatherings, Thanksgivings. And then everyone started asking, oh, you smoking any meats? I had a friend actually was like, I'll just bring you the meat. Can you smoke it up for me? And I was like, yeah, sold, done, you know? Like, he'd bring, like, you know, three tri-tips. You keep one, smoke me up the two, and whatever.
There you go.
Yeah. So it was cool. It started, and I think that most folks that you probably talk to, it started kind of as a hobby.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then it just, you start to turn into a passion.
Yeah.
Okay, so, yeah, for most folks that I've met that do barbecue, it started out kind of as a hobby.
Yeah.
And then they fell into it and just kind of, you know, it became a passion thing.
Oh, for sure.
And I think for me, that's I got the bug, 100%.
Yeah.
What we're trying to do with Big Brian's Meats is infuse barbecue, traditional barbecue, with Southern Californian Mexican cuisine.
Okay.
So, you know, infusion's pretty hot right now.
Yeah.
And I'm taking the recipes that I grew up with from my mom.
Yeah.
And my mom actually is my sous chef, believe it or not.
Oh, awesome. That's cool.
So, yeah, it's total family-run business. My mom's a sous chef. My wife, who still is a teacher, she comes out. She's actually here tonight. Both of them are here right now as we're doing this.
Okay.
My kids are involved. I have a 10-year-old daughter, 8-year-old son. Core and Emiliano, they run the front of the house.
Okay.
My son Emiliano actually programs my Square point of sale system.
Oh, awesome. Like, that's crazy how kids,
like, he knows, like, how to, like, yeah, deep dive into the
that's,
he's
awesome.
Like, Dad, I think we should do a 5% discount on this upcoming you know, item here. I'm like, why are you saying that? He's like, well, I did an analysis, a regression analysis on our last, I'm like,
yeah. What is a regression analysis? Yeah,
exactly. Well, dude, you're 8.
Yeah. So, that's awesome, though.
Yeah. So it is a totally family run enterprise. Anyway, so we're trying to do things different.
Yeah.
Because I know that barbecue is hot in Southern California right now.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of folks doing it, and that's great because, you know, I think just the taste of barbecue is amazing.
Oh, for sure.
We're just trying to do it a little bit different.
Yeah.
You know, putting our own spin on it.
Yeah, of course. And I feel like that's what, like, you know, I mean, just like some of the stuff I was tasting, it makes it unique, you know. And
exactly.
You need that kind of, because, like you said, there is, in Southern California, it's really hot right now when it comes to the barbecue, well, the barbecue scene. But if you can differentiate yourself from somewhere, from another person, and then they can come in and try something, it brings people back, man.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. And that's kind of what we're trying to do for our customers. Going back to the time that I was a teacher, a lot of my students that I had, they're now our customers.
That's awesome. So that's cool.
You know, they want to come say, what's up? How you doing? Oh, by the way, I'll get this and that. And I'm like, yeah. Right, cool. That's great.
That's freaking sweet.
Yeah, yeah, it's good times.
When you make those kind of connections, I mean, it's just like those, the kind of things, especially I feel like with teachers, especially it sounds like you were a good teacher if they were coming back all these years later.
Yeah.
You know, and coming to support you. So.
I did a pretty good job.
Yeah, there you go. So what's your most popular item on your menu?
Sure. So the mac and cheese is one of the hot sellers.
Okay,
definitely. The smoked tri-tip chili, I was telling you earlier, started the business around. We won a couple of chili contests with it.
Yeah.
And that was the one where I was like, okay, maybe this is something where we can expand on, right?
Yeah.
So those two are definitely hot. We do a smoked brisket torta sandwich that we Ooh. Call the El Jefe.
Oh, wow.
Unfortunately, we don't have it tonight.
Oh, it's all good.
But that one is a hot selling item. And then I actually make my own pastrami.
Oh,
yeah.
You had me at pastrami.
You're a pastrami guy?
Oh, I love pastrami, yeah.
Perfect, yeah. So it's a 12-day brined, 16-hour smoked pastrami.
Damn.
And then what we do is we chop it up. And then we put it with arugula, garlic aioli, and Monterey Jack cheese. We wrap it up in a big, big flour tortilla. We put it on the flat top. We call it the stramarito.
Oh, damn. All right. Boom. Well, I'm going to, whenever you do that again.
Mic drop.
Got a little quiet there.
Yeah.
You're going to have to send me a message and let me know when you do that.
Absolutely.
I'll definitely
yeah.
come down and try some.
We'll let you know when that happens. But yeah, so, you know, that one is, you know, that's the time it takes to make it. And I think that's what I enjoy most.
Yeah.
Is the process.
Yeah.
Of this entire thing we do. Like, you have to plan ahead, like, weeks mm-hmm. in advance sometimes, especially with, like, pastrami.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, where are you going to get with it? How are you going to get there? And then what are the steps? And then you kind of work backwards. And I enjoy that. I mean, for some people, they're just like, the hell with that. Yeah. I'm not going to do that. I enjoy that.
That's awesome. Yeah. And even when I was thinking about the tri-tip, like the tri-tip chili.
Yeah.
I was like, because it almost like gave me like, because it was like two different beans in there, right? Because you have the pinto and you got the red beans or the kidney beans.
Yeah.
It almost gave me like Louisiana kind of vibes a little bit too.
Right on. Yeah.
Because of like, you know, when you kind of see that like chili on a bed of rice and stuff like that, it gave me that, but it was freaking delicious.
A little gumbo-ish.
Yeah.
Freaking thanks, so man. Good. Appreciate that.
Yeah. And hold on. Do you make all your own sauces and all that stuff too?
So we're starting to experiment with different sauces.
Okay.
We're doing like have you ever heard of like the Alabama white sauce?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're experimenting with that. There's a vinegar sauce we're experimenting with. Nothing we've rolled out or feel confident with yet.
Okay.
In fact, David from Bone Shack Barbecue.
Yeah.
I'm trying to poach some of his recipes.
Oh, yeah. He's got the good stuff,
He's tight-lipped about that.
Yeah.
No, which is all good. I get it. But it's all good. He makes some freaking tremendous, tremendous sauces.
Chorizo mac and cheese. Yeah, put me on the floor pretty much.
Yeah, you know what? And that guy, so just going on that for a second, David from Bone Shack Barbecue, that guy is amazing. We've collabed a few times. I met him through a family friend. He's actually my wife's cousin's wife's friend from elementary school, if you can follow that tree there.
There it is.
But, so I met him back in March of this year. I bought his pit grill from him because he was upgrading.
Okay.
And then he was just fully supportive with everything. He's like, hey, if you need help setting this up, if you need any tips, whatever, hit me up, no problem, anytime. And he's been such like a, I call him my Jedi master.
Oh, yeah. He's your Yoda?
Dude, he is. He is my Yoda. I'm his Padawan. But yeah, David's been very instrumental in helping me kind of get to that next level. And his barbecue's phenomenal.
Like, yeah.
Have you tried his brisket?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's killer.
I dream of his ribs, man. Like, yeah. Damn. Kind of want his ribs right now.
Oh, yeah. No, there's some great stuff, man.
Yeah. So he's been awesome. But his sauces, too, were phenomenal. And, I'm trying to kind of get that level of barbecue, but not compromising, like, the infusion thing, too. Because
of course not.
We want to kind of have those two facets kind of grow in tandem.
Oh, for sure. And I mean, especially when it comes to like perfecting like sauces or even like recipes or anything, that stuff takes time. I mean, especially like you said, you only started a year ago. I mean,
I mean, it's been about a year and a half. Man, if I can compare like where we were with pop-ups, even a year ago to where we are now.
Yeah.
It's like night and day.
Yeah. And night even and with the pop-up scene too, like, I mean, I feel like especially at breweries, that like it's so big because I mean, I feel like there's so much money like in that business, like going to breweries and stuff like that, especially when they don't have kitchens, you can come over and, do all this sort of stuff. What kind of got you into the brewery circuit, or how did that start?
Yeah, so we started by doing like farmers markets at first. And then I knew that, there were, like you said, breweries were offering pop-up opportunities for food vendors.
Yeah.
And so I started by calling our local brewery in Lakewood, a place called Syncopated Brewing Company. Have you been there?
I've never been, but I know Stephanie, the beer wench.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, she's awesome. She's
right
cool.
on. Yes. Yeah. So it was Stephanie, the beer wench, that actually got back to me. And she said, we have a spot this February if you want to come out. I said 100% because like they're literally like 3 miles from my house.
Yeah.
So I was like, let's start there. And we had a great turnout. We promoted the hell out of it.
That's awesome.
It was actually Super Bowl weekend.
Oh, wow.
So
it was it's beer, barbecue, and football. What more do you
can't
need?
Go wrong. Yeah. So we did that event. And then, I saw kind of like, the light kind of click. Like, my God, we can go to breweries and do this.
Oh, for sure.
So then this past summer, we did a lot of different breweries. Went to Noble Ale Works in Anaheim.
Love Noble.
Went up to Overtown Brewing, Monrovia.
Okay, I don't think I've been to that one.
Okay, yeah. It's up there off the 210. Where else did we go? Gosh, we went. It's kind of skipping my mind right now. But we did. We did a nice, little brewery tour this summer. And it was cool. Everywhere we went, cool people, chill vibes. They just want good food, good beer, you know. How can you go wrong?
Yeah, what more do you need? It's I always say, like, it's like, you know, barbecue, football, and beer. Like, what more do you need?
Yeah. And so it was kind of a perfect pairing for what we were doing with what they were brewing and, you know, that kind of stuff. So
that's awesome, brother.
Yeah.
Love that. I mean, I love that because, I mean, like you said, how we mentioned earlier about just having that, you know, that kind of that passion and then knowing, you know, hey, man, it's never like just because you've been doing something your whole life doesn't mean you have to do it the rest of your life.
Right.
And I don't know. Maybe I don't know if anyone's ever said that. Maybe I should, you know,
throw you should that on trademark my team.
Yeah, I should put something on there. I got to remember that I said that. Yeah. But are there any other like breweries that you're trying to get to, or like were you always into craft beer before, or was it something that just kind of happened organically? Or
well, you know, it's like funny. You mentioned that, and I think that like my feeling is that, like, you know, craft beer, okay, and the passion they put into that, and all the effort, and like these guys here at La Jara, Derek, who's the head brewmaster here, he gave me a tour of his tap. The brewing room, and it was like, man, there's so much that goes into it.
Oh yeah,
like from a science perspective, and you know, all the ingredients and the process and everything.
Yeah,
like everything they put into it, right? The same goes into like craft food, I feel.
Oh, for sure.
You know what I mean? So it's kind of like a perfect pairing. Like you have, you know, these folks that are doing the beer, these folks that are doing the food. And I think that's why it works at breweries, doing what we do, because people are here for something different, right?
Yeah.
Like, you can only get this beer at this place.
Oh, yeah.
You can only get my food when we pop up at this place.
Yeah.
You know, we're not in retail stores. We're not, you know, we're not McDonald's.
Yeah.
So I think that was the appeal for me to kind of go to breweries.
Yeah.
Because, like, it was a chance to showcase our cuisine on a very, like, personal level.
Yeah, and I feel like one of the good things is, too, because, like, once people kind of find that brewery that they like,
right,
they always end up following them on Instagram.
Yeah,
so they end up seeing, like, oh, they're coming back here. And then if they have good, you know, food there, good barbecue there,
yeah,
they're going to be like, oh, where, like, they're going to follow that. And then they're going to be like, oh, well, where do I go? Where's it going to be next?
Yeah.
Well, I'm really craving that. Wonder where he's at today.
Yeah, and we've been fortunate that here at La Jara, they offered us a residency here in
October. That's awesome, man.
So this is our third Friday that we've been here. We were here the last two Fridays. We're taking a couple weeks off because our catering side of stuff is just exploding right now. Like, we're just getting crazy busy. Dude.
Yeah.
Like, literally, tomorrow we have 150 people we have to cook for.
Holy shit.
So we're going to wrap out of here tonight. I'm going to get a few hours of sleep, and then I'm up at 6 a.m. prepping for this tomorrow. That's then next Thursday, we have a huge event for the city, Lakewood Chamber of Commerce.
Awesome.
Assemblyman Anthony Rendon is giving a state-of-state.
Oh, okay. There you go.
So we're doing catering for that event. And then next Sunday, October 29th, we'll be in Long Beach at the MOLA, the Museum of Latin American Art.
That's awesome.
They're doing a big Dia de los Muertos festival. Expecting 3,000 to 4,000 people there, and we're cooking up like 600 plates.
Uh oh, there you go.
So, if you want to come down, guys, get there early.
There you go. And when is that?
It's October 29th.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what I'm going to do is, we'll talk about that after, but I'll mention that in the intro.
Awesome. Yeah. It should be a free admission. Definitely get there early because we'll probably sell out.
No, yeah. I mean, I can only imagine, and that's what I love about when I see your flyers and stuff like
that. Yeah.
It's you know, everything there till it was sold out or whatever.
That's it. Yeah.
Once it's gone, it's gone. Then you got to come next time if you missed it.
Exactly.
Because then it makes you want to try everything else on there.
Yeah.
So have you thought about, like, any other things that you might potentially add to the menu? Or is there other stuff that you want to do?
Yeah. So we want to get into more appetizers for sure.
Okay.
Like, you're trying the shotgun shells tonight.
Oh, which freaking delicious.
You like them. That's awesome. Thank you. I think we want to just kind of experiment more with that. Maybe some dessert items.
Okay.
Get into the sweet side of the, you know, savory and sweet kind of thing.
Yeah, of course.
You know, just, I think just coming up with more kind of infusion things that we can pair with a good beer or a glass of wine or something that would just tickle the taste buds, for lack of better terms. Yeah, I mean, I think we have a good solid foundation as far as the menu is concerned. But then there is some barbecue items that I do want to start experimenting with.
Yeah.
Like I kind of, you know, want to wrap my head around more like dino ribs. Like, we're not selling them. I've done some, you know, plate rib recipes.
Those are huge.
Enormous.
Yeah. And it's like with those, you're like, man, like, I was wondering, like, because I've tried them, and they're freaking delicious. But yeah. I'm like, fuck, dude, how do you eat the whole damn thing?
Yeah. I mean, you know, and then like, you know, pork belly items, and there's different ways you can prepare that. Some people do them candied.
Yeah.
Some people do straight smoke. They throw sauce on it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just like so many different variations of all this different type of barbecue you can do. Yeah.
And pork belly's killer. Like, I mean, that's a menu, like, you know, like that'll just sell out so fast.
Super good.
One thing because you mentioned earlier about pork tenderloin, one of my favorite things to cook. Like, I love to do tenderloin. Sometimes I'll do bacon wrap tenderloin. But like making like little sliders, or like I'll slice it paper thin and just toss it on a little Hawaiian roll.
It's delicious. I think pork tenderloin is seriously undervalued, man.
I really do. That's why, because
it's underappreciated.
Like, it only takes a couple like a few hours to cook compared to like everything else. And it's just, I mean, it's tender. I mean, obviously it's not like falling apart, but it's still super juicy.
It is like the bastard stepchild. You know what I mean?
That's what it feels like.
It does.
Wait, we got to bring back.
Let's pork start a tenderloin. Campaign.
Yeah. You and I think we might have to do it.
Pork tenderloin 24.
Yeah. It's coming back.
Let's go.
Wrap it in bacon. Right. Do whatever you want. I even made one for Thanksgiving one year, and it came out so good.
It's so diverse, and you can do so much with it.
Yeah.
And people don't realize that.
Yeah. You know? I made it one time when I did like that Thanksgiving one for like my brother was like, it wasn't even Thanksgiving. He was just like, what is it, Thanksgiving? Because I did like thyme, rosemary, and sage and all this other stuff with some olive oil.
Amazing.
And it was phenomenal.
Right?
Yeah.
And everyone loved it, right?
Yeah. And he was just like, damn, that was pretty good. And it was really good for like cranberry sauce too.
Yeah, dude. See, let's bring back like Thanksgiving anytime.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, it doesn't have to be one day a year.
No.
We could eat like crazy all year round.
Yeah. I think we're kind of limiting ourselves that we can't enjoy pork tenderloin in February.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. We should be able to have that in, you know, as many beers as we want.
Whatever.
But please drink responsibly.
That's right. That's right. We're not saying go crazy and
get an Uber.
But yeah.
Get an Uber if you have to.
But as long as you eat pork tenderloin, you're good.
Exactly. It'll probably soak it all up. So.
Right.
Just kidding. It might not. Who knows? But it'll be delicious. It'll be good going down.
I love it. By the way, the Pork Association did not pay for us to say any of this.
Yeah, I know.
This is just our opinions.
Yeah, it's just no free ads, but we gave a free ad, so it's all right.
Pork 24.
Oh, yeah. So were you guys going to say being in Lakewood? Because we're actually really close because I'm in Bellflower. You're
Lakewood. Right on.
So we're down the street.
What's up, neighbor?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Did you ever go to, syncopated before you started barbecuing there? And
I went one time with my brother, and speaking about my brother Aaron, my older brother, you were asking about breweries before, like, have you know what breweries have I gone to, whatever. He lived in San Francisco for about 12 years.
Oh wow.
And I went to some breweries up there, like, back in the day, like before, like, breweries were this big thing where
it would have been like Sierra Nevada and all that sort of stuff. Yeah.
So there was one, 21st Amendment.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You know, downtown. They make this insane watermelon beer called Hell or High Watermelon.
Oh, yeah. I've had it before.
Freaking amazing.
Yeah.
And it's seasonal. Like, they don't offer it all the time. But yeah, so we used to go there and have that. And I think that kind of introduced me to the brewery scene. More or less, but yeah, well, you know, when I went to go visit him, he would just take me all these different places, and I'm like, oh my god, I'm in Candyland.
So,
but yeah, that kind of introduced me to the whole brewery thing. Shout out to my bro Aaron.
Shout out to Aaron.
But yes, so speaking of Aaron, we went to Syncopated when it was called Timeless Pints.
Oh, okay.
And that was the original name of the brewery there in Lakewood. And so we went there a couple times and had some of their beer, and then didn't visit it after that. And then when the two guys who own it now, Chris and Jason, they bought it about 2 years ago.
Oh, wow.
And then they rebranded.
Yeah, so they're like still like they have, they're kind of like babies when it comes to, only 2 years. Yeah,
exactly. So Chris Klein, the head brewmaster there, he used to be the head brewer brewmaster at Ballast Point.
Oh, I was going to say the actor. But
No, I know, right? I was want to call him Stifler, but, you know.
Yeah.
But no, Chris, good guy.
Yeah, awesome.
Great guy. He used to be the guy at Ballast Point. He brought a lot of his knowledge from there, and he's making some like super original beers that are just phenomenal. Yeah. He's a beer chemist.
That's awesome.
And
man.
So yeah, so he's really crushing it there. Jason, his partner, he has a place called Dutch's Brew House in Bixby Knolls in Long Beach.
Okay, I don't think I've been there.
Yeah, so it's kind of like a gastropub.
Okay.
And so they brew some stuff there, but then they bring other beers from other, like Ambitious Ales. Okay, so they kind of like collab with them. But yeah, the guys at Syncopated, they've just been really, really, really like open and accepting and like just kind of, it's almost like if I was telling my wife this earlier, if La Jara was like my cousin's house, Syncopated's like my home.
That's awesome, man.
So... yeah, they've just been really supportive of everything. We actually hosted our one-year anniversary.
Yeah, no, that was one of the ones I was trying to get to.
Yeah, oh, that's right. We talked about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, man, it's cool because, like, you know, when it comes to the craft beer community, they're probably one of the most supportive communities because, you know, there are certain communities out there.
Right.
That you're like, oh, no, like, you're trying to get in on my thing? Like, no,
right.
Like, get away. You're not, like, this is always at the... What was in Little Rascals, All Boys Club or whatever?
Oh, yeah. Exactly. Spanky and all.
Yeah, all those, yeah. So it was like, right. But I mean, the craft beer community is super, like...
supportive.
Anytime I've reached out to someone, not any every time, but I mean, because people are busy.
Yeah, you know, sure.
Sometimes it takes time to get to respond back. But a lot of the time, if I reach out to somebody, they're like, yeah, man, let's do it. Let's sit down and have a conversation.
Right.
Because I know there's podcasts out there that are about, like, the actual brewing side, like the science behind
right,
it.
Right, right, right.
But I just want to hear like how they got there.
Yeah.
And that's like the big thing for me, like what it took for them to decide like, hey, I want to like, I have my 9-to-5, I'm doing this on the weekends, me and my buddies are drinking the beer that I'm brewing, but then you go from that to this.
Yeah.
Like to opening a place like this.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's, it's funny you say that because it's a lot of the food vendors I meet, it's like the similar story.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, they enjoy doing this and then they enjoy like the community.
Oh, for sure.
And then like one thing leads to another and they're like, just like, why am I messing around? Like, let's just go full blast with this.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I would say easily 90 to 95% of the folks that I met in this brewery circuit, like they're all chill.
Same.
They're just all chill. They're just like, we just want to hang out. Like, we want people to enjoy our stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, if we can help you, let us know how we can help you. Like, everyone's trying to elevate everyone's consciousness.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, that's fucking badass.
Yeah. And one thing I want to say is, you know, thank you for being here. And I know I said that earlier.
But yeah.
It was about, like, because it's the conversation just flowed. It's not something like nothing felt forced. I mean, because there have been times, and I'm not going to mention any names, obviously, but I mean, there's times where I'm talking to somebody and I'm like, I feel like it takes them like, you know, because we usually go for about 45 minutes to an hour.
Right.
And then at like the 45th minute, they realize that we're just having a conversation and then they open up and I'm like, where was this thing for the first 45 minutes? So I appreciate you being, you know, fully, you know, transparent and be willing be willing to talk, brother.
Yeah, no, I'm an open book, man. Like I said, you know, at the outset, my path has been an unconventional one. You know, didn't go to culinary school. I wasn't, you know, classically trained, but I was family trained and passion driven.
Yeah.
I guess.
That's what it's about, man. It's about the passion.
Yeah.
It's about wanting to continue to push forward. And like I said earlier, I can't remember what I said, that thing I should trademark, but I'll have to go back and listen to it.
Yeah. It's something about passion.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Something or other. Right. It probably has nothing to do with the word passion, but I'm sure it's something.
Right.
Are there any other breweries that you like to frequent? Like if you have a day off?
Sure.
What do you know?
That's a great question. In a perfect world, I would love to just go brewery hopping and seeing stuff, but you know, having two young kids.
And you have to prep for food all prep the time. And stuff. Like, I get it.
Like, actually, this right now is my brewery trip.
Yeah. Hey, nothing wrong with that, brother.
The fact that we're talking and I can have a beer and just cheers,
brother.
And just kind of be relaxed. It's pretty nice. I like my wife and I went to a party at Golden Road.
Okay.
Over in Anaheim.
Yeah.
That thing's
right by Angel Stadium. Yeah.
Massive. That's place. Huge, it's a monolith.
Yeah, it's like holy that shit. That place and like Brewery X or like Carl Strauss, like where they're all right. Like in Anaheim area, and yeah. You know, Noble for that matter too. Like before an Angel game, Noble is nuts.
Just insane, right?
And especially that Golden Road before an Angel game, crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, the team's not very good.
But, the beer's good.
Yeah, as long as the beer's good, I mean, it'll make them losing a little
A little more acceptable.
Exactly.
So, yeah, that place is awesome. I don't know if you've ever been there, but up in Paso Robles, the Firestone Walker Brewery.
I've heard nothing but great things. I've had their beer. I've never been.
Oh, dude, you got to go.
I've heard nothing but great things about the actual brewery.
The brewery itself is, like, phenomenal.
Yeah.
Just, like, super clean. Plenty of space, and you're in Paso Robles, which is
a kick-ass really, spot. Yeah.
However, we went there in July, and it was like 105 degrees.
Oh,
so.
Fuck that! Yeah. Yeah, I had to throw an F-bomb out there.
Like, yeah. I ain't doing that.
Yeah,
yeah, fortunately we weren't outside, so we just got our asses in, drank, and then you know, once we had a nice buzz going, we were good. But anyway, Firestone Walker Brewery, phenomenal.
That's awesome. Yeah, they're a good one.
Yeah.
Any other ones you kind of, or any other maybe just like beers that you've had, you know, that maybe you've picked up?
Oh, Belching Beaver down in Vista.
Bangers. Yeah.
Yeah. If you've ever been down to Vista.
Dude, I really love Vista. Carlsbad. Yeah, there you go. Good, man.
My brother, Aaron, who I mentioned earlier, he's now residing in Carlsbad. So he's down there.
Okay. Is he a craft beer guy?
He is, yeah.
Okay. Tell him he needs to, I mean, he's probably already been there. So mine is, might be old news, but there's three down there that is it three or four? Oh no, I'm gonna forget one.
Here we go.
I'm gonna feel so bad.
Now we're talking.
No, but like Virgin Beer Co. Virgin Beer Company is become one of my favorites over the last like 6 months.
Virgin?
Yeah, Virgin. They like great people. Nice. They put out consistently great beers. They like, I don't know if you have you ever had anything from Pure Project down in
New York? No, never heard of them.
Yeah, if you ever get a chance to buy, you know, to get a, to find a, well, you know what, I'll get a couple cans for you and I'll get them for you.
Rock and roll.
What's your kind of style?
So I'm not an IPA guy.
Okay.
Believe it or not. I mean, how about this?
Yeah.
What do you think? Read me.
I would think like maybe like something crispy, like maybe like a lagers or something like that.
Boom time.
Yeah.
Ding, ding, ding. You've been doing this a long time, man.
Yeah.
You read me well.
There it is.
I am a lager guy.
Okay.
And pilsners.
Yeah.
Lagers and pilsners are my go-to. And sours.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Sours, so, like they, sours are kind of made like, you know, they had like.
What is happening here?
Don't worry, guys. We're safe.
Nothing here.
Like sours, you know, sours got really, they're still pretty big now.
Yeah.
But they're like, they were just like, over, like, was that when hazies were just taking over the world? Taking over the brewing industry.
All the rage.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, lagers, they have some, like, I know Virgin definitely has, like, some, like, they have one called the Pistol. And it's a, is it a Czech lager? I can't remember. I'll have to look at it. But they have, if your brother lives there,
definitely
go there.
Okay.
Go to Helia.
Helia.
Dogleg. And then there's one more, and I'm going to feel so bad. Aaron, I'll mention it on the intro when it comes out.
Aaron, if you're listening to this, go to Virgin.
There you go.
Helia and Dogleg.
And is he a golfer by chance?
He tries to golf.
Okay, well, in Dogleg, they have a golf simulator, so you can go up there and drive and stuff like that.
See, now I have to go visit him to go do this.
Yeah, and they have a putting green in there, too.
Oh, beautiful.
What more do you need?
Like nothing. Well, you need Big Brian's Meats to go with
there.
That,
you go, so. Exactly. So maybe one day you go down there, you bring everything down, you have a pop-up.
That's right.
Down
there you
there.
Go. Just set up there.
Yeah, they don't have a kitchen.
Right. Perfect.
So, perfect.
Dang. I didn't know this was going to turn into a business proposition.
There you go.
I like that.
And you know what's cool about that place, about Dogleg? They have you know, like their flight carriers?
Yes.
It's the outline of the state of California.
Oh, what?
It's pretty kick ass. Wow. I have a picture I'll show you later.
Dude, this is amazing.
Yeah.
Come for a podcast, stay for a vacation plan.
Exactly.
Love it. You know, my brother, he went from San Francisco to like the Carlsbad area. Like, talk about being places where there's like
kick ass stuff. And you got the beach right there.
Yeah.
And you got some pretty good, like, you know, food places down there. It's Carlsbad. You're not far from San Diego.
Here's to feeling good all the time.
Exactly. If I lived in Carlsbad, I'd just be, you know.
Yeah.
All the time. I took my girlfriend once down to the flower fields down there. She loved all that. Yeah. I was there for the beer.
Yeah.
But, you know.
There's a place there. I can't remember it, but it's in Carlsbad. And
Legoland. I'm just kidding.
Like, there's these things built out of blocks. And you know, they're like it's miniature the cities. It's so weird. And I can't remember the name
of it.
It's
a 37-foot Darth Vader. <That's right. laughs>
And they have these, like, it's called Legoland. No. It's a beer place.
Yeah.
And they have different beers, like, on those auto tap kind of things. Have you seen those?
Is that the ones where it comes up from the bottom?
No, it's ones? Like you get, like, a swipe card kind of thing. And, like, you get like credits and then you like put your beer there and then like,
oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's Dave and Buster's has that kind of thing too.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You know,
I haven't been
like
to Dave and Buster's in a long time.
Yeah. Well, if you haven't, they have this thing where it's like all these different beers on tap and then like you have like a card and you just like, you know, select your card or whatever kind of beer you want, put your glass there. You kind of like just swipe your card and then it like starts dispensing you a nice pint.
That's pretty, I mean, yeah.
I have to find the place for you, but it was phenomenal. And I was like, I've never, this is like the future of beer drinking.
Yeah, I know.
You know,
Terminator.
It was all AI, dude. It was all AI. Yeah, I wanted Arnold Schwarzenegger to come over. Do not drink that beer.
Yeah.
It'll poison you.
Get to the chopper. Right? It's not a tumor.
Yeah, John Connor is going to come out and just like, don't drink it.
Yeah. Before we continue, I know we're just about done with our beer. Should we grab one more beer?
Fucking A, we should.
All right.
100%.
And we'll be right back. And we're back. I got a beer in like a second.
That was amazing. He actually never left, everyone. He just, a beer materialized in his hand.
Exactly.
Mine as well.
It was one of those AI beers. So I'm having, this one's called Still Life. It's a double dry hop West, I think it's a West Coast. Citra and Mosaic. I saw Citra and Mosaic. I was like, game on. Amazing. And it's only 6.3%. Here we go.
So that's the thing about these beers at Lahara.
Yeah.
They are sneaky. They're sneaky. Their seltzers are like 4.8, whatever. And they go down so smooth. And I'll just kind of be like, whoa, hey. How you doing? Their fast spirit that I'm drinking, I think it's 6.0.
There you go.
But it's good.
Nice.
It pairs with the cuisine.
Yeah.
So.
As long as, like I said, good beer, like if you can find a good beer and some good food to go along with it, anything will pair with it.
That's what I'm saying, man. 100%.
Yeah, and one thing I love, too, when it comes to craft beer, like, and I always try to tell people, because some people are like, well, I'm not a beer guy, or I'm not a beer person, or I'm not a beer girl, or whatever, you know, whatever they choose to be, or whatever. But I always tell them, like, if you find that right one, that'll make you a beer person. There's a beer out there for everybody.
Right.
It's just a matter of finding that one.
So my wife, she only drank Moscato wine.
Okay.
When I first met her.
Yeah.
And if you don't, you know, those of you who don't know, Moscato is like a dessert wine.
Yeah.
Some of you.
The sweeter stuff,
You know what I mean? You don't really pair it with a filet mignon.
Yeah.
And then I kind of, I was like, babe, there's so many different wines here.
Yeah.
So now her palate's completely open.
Yeah.
Because I'm a drunk.
Hey, it happens to the best of
us. You know, so she likes white wines now. She likes Viogniers. She likes Sauvignon Blancs. She'll drink red blend. She likes, you know, Chardonnay, like just all different kinds of things. She's like, I never knew these existed. Like,
yeah.
Well, you got to try it.
Yeah. And like I said, there's always one out there. There's the one of them that, like, I remember, and people probably hate hearing this part of when I mention this, was like, I've had the first craft beer I had was like a Double Bastard from Stone, and it's so fucking bitter. And I was just like, and I first thought was like, who the fuck would ever want to drink this?
Is that a Double Arrogant Bastard?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I remember drinking Arrogant Bastard.
Yeah.
When I was like 25, 26.
And thank my buddy, my old roommate, Brian, because we used to live just down the street from here. Jesus. We lived off of Excelsior and Pioneer.
No way. That's very close.
Yeah. So we were like, we lived down there. We used to make the drunk walk to In-N-Out. I wasn't 21 yet, but still, you know. But we always had a keg of Stone on tap, IPA on tap, and a sort of PBR.
So. Winning, dude. Winning.
Yeah, and we had a pool table. As soon as you walked into our house, it was a pool table. So it was a
God. Yeah. I want to go hang out there.
Yeah. I don't think they own the house anymore, but I wish. Because that was like, you know, it was every bit of what a bachelor pad. If you thought of bachelor pad, that's what it was.
Right.
Like, we used to all, like, you know, partake in cigarettes back then.
Yeah.
We had a smoke room. Yeah. So... Yeah, it was a pretty wild time.
Well, I'm gonna one up you on that one. Yeah. Sorry.
Oh yeah, it's all good.
And I'm not a one upper guy, dude. I'm not all Mike. Good, Mike, I all due respect. I'm not a one upper. But my brother and I, we lived in a 300 square foot studio apartment. 300 square feet.
Jesus.
I mean, I think this space it's, that we're sitting
about
is
about the size
is larger.
Of this table, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
In Hermosa Beach, one block from the ocean. We had an ocean view, but it was 300 square feet.
Okay.
And it was one room for two dudes, like, in their mid-20s.
Yeah.
And so my brother, there was, like, a plank of wood on the second story.
Yeah.
And that was called the loft.
Oh, Lord.
And he had to get there by climbing up a shitty ladder that somebody just nailed together. And then I had the downstairs, which was just like a twin mattress thrown in the corner. And then we had like not a kitchen, but a kitchenette.
Yeah.
Where it was like literally a microwave, a break room refrigerator, and a shitty oven. And then we had like just a toilet and half a shower.
Yeah.
And we did that for a year, bro.
Yeah.
A year.
Damn.
And dude. We got into so many fights there.
Yeah, I can imagine. Being that, like, you know, close and not having the privacy, I can only imagine what
it was. It was ridiculous, but it was great at the same time.
Yeah.
It was like those, you know, the only time my brother and I lived together, but I would not trade that for anything.
Oh, no,
the memories.
Sure. Yeah. I have a similar story with my brother because, I mean, we're so close. Like, he was with my sister-in-law now. But they weren't like married or anything like that. But they lived in the front house and they had a back house, so they rented it out to me.
Right.
And every Friday night, man, it was Jameson. And dude, by the time I left that place,
because
I would save every bottle we drank, and I lived there for four and a half years.
Love where this is going, by the way. I love this.
Over 200 bottles of Jameson.
Oh my!
In four and a half years. It was like I'll show you a picture. I have it on my Instagram. I filled up one blue barrel,
dude.
And then I filled up like another one right after that, like the next week, trying to get rid of it when I was moving out.
I love it.
Yeah, it was a wild time. But you never, like, those kind of times with your brother, when you have time with your family and like you get to those kind of years where
it just
goes by so damn fast.
Exactly.
It doesn't feel like,
right.
You know, it feels like times are going to last forever.
And that was 2005, 2006. So
okay,
we're talking not like almost, you know, 15, 20 years ago, man. But to me, it feels like it was just yesterday.
Same. Yeah, I think it was like 2012 when I moved in. Yeah, it was August 2012 when I moved into that back house. And me and my brother were hanging out all the time. And
wild.
It was just, I mean, you know, we still hang out every chance we get.
Of course.
But it's still like those times back then. It's like we called it because we had, that's why I go by Mike. Like one of the things is like he made me a bar sign that said Michael's Place.
Nice.
And we would always call, we're going to close down Mike's tonight.
And you did.
Every time. There's times where I have old pictures where it's like I took my last shot at like 6:30, 7:30 in the morning. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, what was I doing? Like, what the fuck was that?
Oh, man. Your liver loves you for that.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah. I mean, good thing is, like, literally, like, when it comes to, like, the liver stuff, a lot of it is genetic. So thank the Lord that my grandpa drank from, like, when he was, like, 15 years old till he was 84.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, yeah.
I
come from a long line of drinkers too, and they all live pretty late. So
yeah,
I think I'm good.
That's awesome.
I'm gonna ride that wave.
I was gonna quote another country song.
Yeah, there you go.
It was like, it's come from a long line of losers, half outlaws, half boozers. I think that's what the line is.
Nice.
I'd probably fall into the boozer category, maybe a little bit of the loser one late, early on in life. But no, man, this has been super fun. I want to talk about, because I know you're an NFL fan.
Yes.
Who's your team?
Who do you think?
Ah.
Look at the logo.
Okay, it's the Raiders.
100%.
Okay.
100%.
I'll tell you one thing about the Raiders when I was a kid. So I grew up and, like, well, my dad was a Raider fan.
He
was like, he's a huge USC fan, huge Raider fan, love Marcus
Allen. Coliseum.
Yeah, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And he told me when I was a kid, like, I would cheer for them because he loved them. But he would also say, like, hey, dude, you don't have to cheer for the teams that I love. But my first ever NFL jersey was a Jeff Hostetler Raiders jersey.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go, Hoss.
Yeah.
15, baby.
Yeah, when he came over from
Slinging
the Giants,
it.
I was like, oh, they're going to win. They're going to win.
Oh, dude.
Super.
Yes.
Yeah.
Lots of love for Hoss.
But I love Tim Brown, too. Like, Tim Brown
Notre
was
Dame guy.
Awesome. Yeah.
Shout out to Notre Dame.
Yeah. And my grandpa was a huge Notre Dame guy.
Oh, there you go.
So it was like we had, that was like our, you know, SC Notre Dame rivalry.
Right.
Even though Notre Dame just beat the living shit out
they
of SC.
They beat the shit out of SC, man.
They totally
did. Pulverized them.
Oh,
in South Bend.
Oh, that's what I said.
Took them to the backyard and spanked them like the dogs they are.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and that's what I figured. I think I said it on the intro for last week's show. I was like, they just took him out there and just got railroaded.
There's no other way about it, man. I mean, it was an ass whooping.
Oh, yeah. definitely.
It happens.
You know? Oh, yeah, no, and that's the thing. Like, you know, sometimes it takes one of those ass opens to, like, to realize, fuck, heck, I got to change something.
So, yeah, absolutely. But, ever been to South Bend?
I've never been. No. I've been to a few, like, away games. Like, I went to when SC won the national title against Oklahoma.
Okay.
I went to that game. I went to when they went to the Orange Bowl and Palmer's last year.
Nice.
When they played Virginia Tech, I think it was, like, Matt Leinart's and Reggie's last year.
Nice.
That was the year they lost to Texas. That was a heartbreaker.
Oh, dude. So I was in Hermosa that year.
Oh, were you?
Yeah.
Okay.
For the Rose Bowl.
Oh, yeah, that's right. 2-0-5-0-6. Yeah, and, so that would have been...
Freaking Sharkies, Hermosa Beach.
Oh, Sharkies, my
dude.
Brother. Yeah.
Okay, so those SC fans are being pretty wild, pretty loud, pretty obnoxious.
I can imagine.
Okay, and then when Vince Young ran that shit in.
Oh yeah.
That place cleared like roaches, brother.
I mean, yeah.
It just.
Oh, dude, my heart. I'm not gonna lie about it. My heart sank. Yeah, I was like. What?
It was
kind of
satisfying. I mean, just to see that the rug got pulled out. But
oh yeah. Ah, it was like, yeah. I mean, but then we found out later that all, like, the whole Reggie thing, but
right,
I mean,
right.
His parents were taking money and whatever else. But.
I asked you about South Bend, though, because we took my dad, who's a hardcore Notre Dame fan.
Oh, that's cool.
We took him for his 60th birthday, which was now 10 years ago.
Oh, wow.
We took him to South Bend for the opening weekend game. It was Notre Dame versus Temple.
Oh.
I mean, they smashed the shit out
of
them.
Yeah, but who doesn't want to see that? Yeah.
It was a total gashing. But the thing that I was, like, so just, like, wow, like, just amazed about is how it's not just a game. It's like a four-day kind of tradition. They like, the grotto. They have, like, the band that comes and they play. And it's like a four-day – it's like a festival every weekend they play at South Bend. And then Touchdown Jesus and that whole thing. But we were fortunate to fulfill my dad's kind of lifelong dream of getting to South Bend. And I'll tell you what, man, there ain't nothing else out there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, that's it. When my grandpa went out there for the first time, I want to say it was like late 90s, like Ron Paulus, I think, was the quarterback. When he went out there with my family, they were like, dude, there was like, yeah, it's the campus, and then that's it.
That was it.
Yeah.
That was
and Holy Cross.
Yeah. You look across. Holy Cross University, Notre Dame.
Yeah.
The end.
But, I mean, even being an SC fan, I'll always respect, like, Notre Dame. Like, there were times when, of course, when you're a kid, you're like, oh, yeah, you hate your rival or whatever. Yeah. But as you get older, you're like, dude, it's not that important.
Okay, here's some trivia for you.
Yeah.
Do you know why USC and Notre Dame play every year?
Oh, it's because Notre Dame's head coach, is it Newt Rockne's wife wanted to go on vacation.
Ah, yeah. You do?
Yeah.
Ding, ding, ding. Yeah. Hey, you're a real one.
Ding, 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 ding. Yeah. And yep. I didn't even have to Google that.
Yeah, look at this guy.
Yeah. Nope. And there look he goes. Mute his mic again.
Yeah, I know. I'm just like kissing it.
Yeah.
That's good. I don't meet many people who know that. Yeah. But it's like they wanted to have that vacation every year.
Yeah. So that's it. It started. Started one of the greatest rivalries.
You know your history,
of all time.
Brother. That's good. That's good.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, as a kid, like, because when I first started growing up watching them, SC was so bad. They were like 6-6 every year. They had one good year, and they went to the Rose Bowl. I think in 95, 96. But other than that, they were just kind of mediocre. I mean, and then it wasn't until Carroll got there that things really turned around.
Right.
But I mean, like, so when I was a kid, like, seeing them be so bad, I was like, well, what was it like back then, Pop? Like, maybe not trying to make him feel old.
Right.
But I was like, what was it like? And, like, so I would watch or read any type of history. Yeah.
Right.
About the program. Yeah. And even, like, I would say, like, too, like, as much as, like, I disliked Notre Dame when I was a kid.
Sure.
Rudy was always one of my favorite movies growing up.
Don't get me started on Rudy, man.
Oh, dude, it's a banger,
Rudy Rudiger.
Yeah, I loved it. Did you see Vince Vaughn on game day a couple weeks ago?
Yeah.
And he was wearing, like,
his
Notre Dame fucking jacket.
Oh, my God. Amazing.
He's like, I played here. He's like, I think he even said, he's like, if I had half the heart of Rudiger, I would have been an All-American.
Yes, that's
I was fucking dying.
You're 5 foot nothing. Yeah. One half of nothing.
Yeah.
Charles Dutton.
Yeah.
Oh, what a
fucking
what a
movie.
Fucking
man.
Movie, right?
Yeah. That movie puts you to the fucking ringer. But I still love the signs where they say Rudy was offside.
Yeah. On the kickoff?
Yeah. Oh, no, on the kickoff. Oh, no, on the sack.
They said he was offside.
Yeah, there's always a sign that says Rudy was offside.
That's hilarious. Can you imagine how messed up that would be if they called the flag on
Yeah. On the one play, they're like, yeah, game's over. We're locking this thing up.
They're up by like 20, And then it's like, yeah, let's call a flag on this little piece of shit.
This little guy.
Right. Because maybe the rep had like a bad day. He's going through a divorce or something.
And yeah.
He's like, nah, fuck this guy. Yeah.
You know what? My wife left flag on the play.
There's a flag.
Yeah.
Nope. Sorry, Rudy. You don't get your little celebration sack.
Sorry, bitch. Bro. I know your best friend died, so you could do this. That pushed you to do this, but still.
I know all these things that led up to this moment to make you have this.
And you got called up.
I'm gonna step in this. Go and take your 5-year penalty.
Yeah.
Go to the shower.
Yeah. Dan Devine just pulled him right off the field.
So in some alternate universe, Mike, there is a Rudy, you know, Rudy remastered.
Oh, yeah. You know
where did that happen?
Because I remember, like, okay, because way back when it was Taps and Tailgates before I changed it to the Tap Room. Before,
oh, love it.
Before all my buddies, you know, decided they were too busy to do stuff.
Love it.
Sorry, love you guys. We had a segment, like, it was called Missed Calls. And we joked around about, like, you know, the Rudy thing. But then when it just happened one day I was watching Sandlot. And if you watch the tag in the movie, he got him. He's out. Benny the Jet is out at home. But they say the Jet stole home at the end of the movie. But if you watch that playback.
He tagged him out?
He's out. Yeah. So I put that in my missed calls. I was like, yeah, Benny the Jet was fucking out.
Dude.
Yeah, it was like the controversy.
That is horrible.
Yeah.
So what was the over-under on that game? And Vegas win?
Yeah.
I think
probably. You would have thought Vegas would have won.
Somebody's parlay got fucked up because Benny the Jet.
Yeah.
You know.
Who made the commercials like before? It was like when they needed to push the button to like for something to happen for it to be. Was it Buffalo Wild Wings, I think? No free ads? Yeah.
Dude, you're going to make me go back and look at that play now.
You got to watch that one. You got to like freeze frame.
I did it frame by frame on that thing.
And it was,
You're dedicated, man.
Oh, it just, because, man, I was working at the time. And I was working, I still work from home, but I was working at the time. And I just had it on, like, on my phone in the background because I was up visiting my sister. And I just happened to glance over and I was like, wait. I was like, was it? Yeah. So, like, I was like, I rewound it. On my phone, scrubbed it on my phone, got to the part, and I sent it to Navi, who used to be on the show.
Right.
And I was like, dude, I think he's out. And he's like, dude, I think you're right. I was like, but nobody paid attention. I
mean, so this is a total scandal. We need to contact the producers and be like, yo, you need to own up to this.
I'm going
to
look up that son of a bitch's name. Yeah, for sure. Right.
Well, it's, what's his name? The guy who played Benny the Jet. It's,
Oh, he did it?
No. The actor's name.
Oh, yeah. I don't actually.
Mike, I think it's his name. Vitar, I think. Mike Vitar. Because he was also in The Mighty Ducks 2, D2, if you know that movie.
Okay.
He was Luis Mendoza.
Yeah.
The speed skater from Miami.
Banger.
Exactly.
Hey, after that movie, like, I mean, after Sandlot, seeing that, I was like, fuck, now I want to go back and watch old movies and see if they missed any penalties.
Dude, imagine if you could put together, like, a whole, like, catalog of missed calls.
I think I'm going to have to try and do that.
Straight up.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what you're doing talking to me here. Like,
yeah. Okay.
You should be on this.
So his name is David Mickey Evans.
There you go.
Who wrote and directed The Sandlot.
There you go. You need to call that fool, like, right now.
Oh,
right?
My God. And he did Radio Flyer. Did you ever see that movie?
I did. The one where the kid with the wagon.
Yeah, and he freaking takes off, like, it's flying and stuff. Like, with Tom Hanks. Like, Tom Hanks is, like, playing the older version of him. Like, when Tom Hanks is like a bosom buddy.
It was like Tom Hanks trying to become.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I did see that.
All right, man, I love me some Hanks, though.
Dude, how can you not love Hanks?
Oh, yeah.
Hanks the best.
Yeah. Since we're talking about movies.
Let's go.
And you went to film school.
All right.
What's your favorite movie? Oh, no, that's a loaded question. Top three, maybe.
All right, so I get this question asked a lot.
I bet.
I'm just going to go in order, but actually not in order, but top three.
Okay.
Godfather.
Banger.
Apocalypse Now.
Banger.
And Major League.
Fantastic.
That's it.
Can't fight that.
That's my 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
And on a, you know, a fourth, like a honorable mention.
Yeah.
Big Lebowski.
The Dude.
And that's it.
Yeah.
I'm going to stop there.
It's a classic. I mean, you can't beat those. For me, it was like watching like 80s movies as a kid. It was probably Top Gun.
Banger.
Young Guns.
Banger.
Forrest Gump.
Banger, banger.
Yeah.
But it is.
I mean, an honorable mention.
We're on the same page.
Honorable mention.
We're on the same page.
There's so many.
I know. See, this is a loaded question.
Yeah, it's totally, you know what?
It's kind of unfair.
Raiders. Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Awesome.
Love me some indie growing up. Who didn't love indie? Yes. If you don't like indie, you can get the fuck out of here.
Don't even talk to me.
Yeah.
Don't even sit down next to me if you don't love any indie
exactly.
kind of stuff. Yeah. It's beautiful. Awesome. But yeah. No, I love movies with good storylines, good characters, good plot development, action, all that shit, you know? And in fact, how many things are they starting to reboot now, my friend?
Everything.
Everything.
They can't come up with anything original.
That's my point. Yeah. We grew up with some good shit.
Oh yeah, we had the best shit.
I'm not sure you did that.
Nobody had better shit than we did.
Love it. Man, so we talked about. So let's get back to the Raiders. Now that you said Raiders, you triggered my Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Perfect segue.
Yes. I followed the Raiders since 1985 because I did go to the Coliseum when they were the LA Raiders.
Yeah.
My dad took us, and it was before they renovated the bowl at the Coliseum.
And because when they still had the track.
The Olympic track, right. So they had capacity like 110,000.
Yeah.
And I went to a game with my brother and my dad where they had 110,000 people there.
Damn.
For the Raiders versus the Broncos, dude.
That's awesome.
1988. And if you've ever seen 110,000 people in a freaking stadium.
Yeah.
Especially if you're 10 years old.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, what in the
this
hell
is
going
craziest thing you've
on
ever
right
seen.
Now?
Yeah.
It's nuts. So I saw that and felt that. But backtrack to that, I went to a preseason game versus the Bengals. This is a funny story. You're going to like this.
Okay.
This is how I became a Raiders fan.
Yeah.
It was a preseason game. We were sitting on the shade side of LA Coliseum. If you've been there, you know how like the sun kind of hits. Yeah. So it's about 5:00. The Raiders scored a touchdown. I'm there with my dad and my brother. And this drunk guy behind us jumps up, a full beer, pint of beer.
Oh, all over you.
Gets dumped all over my head, right?
Been there.
Just dumped, right?
Yeah.
And so I look at my dad. I'm 8 years old.
Yeah.
And my dad says, what do you want me to do? I can kick his ass.
And we can get kicked out of here.
We can get it all thrown out of here. Or you just take it.
Yeah.
And, you know, just we're cool.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm cool. Yeah. And so that was my baptism to Raider Nation, dude.
That's awesome.
A full, like, Bud Light, maybe. Maybe Budweiser.
Yeah, yeah.
Or probably. Maybe Bud Select.
Yeah, it could have been, like, Bud Ice.
Yeah, it probably was Bud Dry or Bud Ice, yeah.
Speaking of Bud Ice or any type of Budweiser, you want to hear a funny story about when I was a
Go
kid?
Go for it.
Okay. So I was, I want to say I was three, no, I was either 4 or 5. I'd have to clarify with my mom, but I know it was either one of those two ages. And we went to this place in Pico. I don't know if you remember. Pico Rivera. Yeah. So we went to this place called Serve Right.
Okay.
And I walked in over there because she went to go get whatever medicine from, I think, my great-grandma. And the Bud Ice girls were there. And she was just like, okay, just come with me. We'll go to the back and we'll go get the stuff. And then I saw the Bud. I went right in line. She was freaking out. They had called people over the thing, like, Jonathan, come to the front desk or whatever. And it's not even a big, like, freaking, like, it's like a pharmacy.
Right.
And, yeah, and then they find me, and I'm in line getting my poster signed by the Bud Ice girl. Yeah. Yeah. It's a story I'll always, like, cherish. And my mom will always, she'd be like, she was freaking out, obviously. You know, just like I'm sure you would if, like, your kid was like, where the fuck's my kid? And in line to at 5 years old to get a freaking, you know.
And the Bud girls didn't care, right?
Oh, yeah. Like, dude, they love me. They all pose for me. They even, like, they made, so my mom knew, like, the clerk or whatever. So he's like, here, just take this disposable camera.
Right, right.
Made him take pictures of me with all the Bud Ice girls.
Do you still have that picture?
I'm sure my mom
does. Is it framed, like?
I would think so. I would want it to be.
I think it should be, at that point.
Like, it was like that. But then I got in trouble because I also made my great-grandma buy me a Kathy Ireland poster as a kid, so.
Dude, if you had a Kathy Ireland and a Cindy Crawford poster when you were 8, Like, you're the shit.
Yeah. Like, oh, no, and my mom didn't know. We bought them at Kmart, and because I was living in, we had a bunk bed.
Right.
So my brother was on top, and I had the bottom bunk, so I could put thumbtacks in. My mom didn't even know until one day she made my bed. And then she was like, what the fuck is this?
Dude.
And then she didn't know I was taking her Victoria's Secret magazines just to be able to cut out the boobs and stuff.
So. I think you just became my biggest hero right now.
I appreciate
Dude,
it.
Dude, that's awesome. What a freaking story.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you had anything, Kathy Ireland or Cindy Crawford at that age.
Oh, yeah.
You're the man.
Oh, dude, and that's the thing. Like, I just, well, growing up as a kid, do you think I wanted to be that cool? No, I'm just kidding. God just bestowed it upon the coolness
upon me.
That's right.
Yeah,
you know?
No, dude. We're not all chosen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, we probably should.
Oh, here we go.
For it to sound better for audio. There we go.
Boom time.
But so that was a cool Raiders story. And you're an NBA fan too, right?
Yes. So homegrown Raiders, Lakers.
Okay.
You know.
So I'm a Bulls fan. We're trash.
Bulls because of Jordan?
Yeah.
There you go.
And I'll tell you the whole story, man. After you tell me your Lakers story.
Jesus Christ. We could totally talk about this. No, but same thing, you know, like, you know, I was born in, what year were you born?
87.
Okay, so I was born in 80.
Yeah.
So I'm 7 years older than you.
Yeah.
So when I was born and coming to consciousness about sports,
yeah,
the Lakers were
crushing. Showtime.
Yeah. Magic, Kareem, Cooper, Scott, Worthy.
Yeah.
They're crushing.
Oh,
they
yeah.
They were crushing, right? We actually went to, my dad took us to the Forum.
That's awesome.
I got to see those Showtime Lakers live,
sick.
You know?
Yeah.
Dude, I have a ticket stub to a playoff game.
That's
it's
cool.
$26. $26, man.
Jesus.
$26 will get you like a loaf of bread and a couple pieces of meat, man.
Yeah, pretty much.
I think this beer costs
$26. Or maybe like half a tenderloin.
I have a menu item for $26.
I had to bring it back to the tenderloin.
Right. Exactly. Get some tenderloin for $26.
Yeah, it might be like $13.
But I still have that, and I cannot believe I saw a playoff game.
Yeah,
for $26.
That's fucking cool.
Well, it wasn't my money at that time.
Yeah,
my dad's money. Anyway, but yeah, I saw those guys in person at the Forum, which quite possibly is the most intimate basketball venue in the history.
I went once when I was a kid, and it was like it almost felt like the Garden of the West.
It was just so cozy. You're just like. You're like a dojo, you know?
Yeah.
Like, okay, we're going to watch some awesome basketball.
Well, that's why you've been seeing shows there now, so there's not really a bad seat in that house.
No, there's not. That's what I'm saying. You could have the topmost seat,
yeah,
like literally up in the rafters, and it was still a great seat.
Oh, yeah.
Not so much with Crypto or any SoFi or any of these places.
When they changed it to Crypto, I was like, what the fuck?
I still call it Staples.
Yeah, so will I. Yeah, I'll never change that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. Anyway, born and bred Lakers fan, and so yeah, so you got to understand, like, when I was coming up in the world, Lakers were crushing.
Yeah,
Raiders had just won like two Super Bowls.
Was it Super Bowl 18? Was that the one that won it?
I can't remember the number, but it was.
I think it was 18 because they beat like the Redskins.
And
I think
84 Redskins.
Yeah, it was Super Bowl 18.
Marcus Allen,
When it came to like the history of this stuff, that's the first thing I would learn is about that before I actually fell.
Yeah, you're an SC guy, so dude, Marcus, and then he got done dirty by Al Davis.
Yeah,
fuck Al Davis. Yeah. Kind of, you know what? Motherfuck the Davis family right now.
Yeah,
because they're kind of. Trashing the Raiders organization.
Yeah. Well, a lot of my buddies that are Raider fans are like they didn't even care.
They're I don't like what's going on.
Well,
right
they
now.
Care about the team, but they don't care about. Like,
no, they want to make money, and they brought the Patriots over to Vegas.
Yeah.
And now it's Patriots West. So I'm not gonna talk about it. I don't want to take the show over with.
No, you're fine.
Criticism.
Yeah, you're good, man. You can say whatever you want.
But it's like, you know, the fuck, man. Like, why would you plant your? It's like, okay, Karate Kid.
Oh, okay.
It's almost like if. You brought Cobra Kai into the dojo of Mr. Miyagi.
Yeah.
Which I think they did that.
I think Johnny Lawrence tried to, like, you know, I think he was just trying to redeem himself.
Right.
I'm just kidding.
This is good. But that's kind of what they did. They brought the Patriot way to the Raiders. Like your sinister enemy. You bring the offensive coordinator in as your coach.
Yeah.
And it's just trashing the whole thing right now. And I think it's just going to be the players that are set. Max Crosby, he's a beast.
Yo, dude, like, this guy beat the shit out of my Packers the other day.
Yes. Oh, okay. There we go. So we're going to play the Bears tomorrow or Sunday.
Yeah, we'll should win happens. That game. The Bears are dog shit.
We should run train. But
I apologize to any Bears.
Yeah, no, it's all good. Yeah. Well, fuck the Bears.
But. Yeah, no, I was going to say the same thing, but, you know.
Anyway, But yeah, it's just it's a weird thing going on with the Raiders right now. But Al Davis, why was I talking about Al Davis?
Oh, how they were trying to become Patriots West and all that.
Right,
stuff.
Right. Yeah.
They also drafted Jamarcus Russell, so
that was horrible.
Yeah,
horrible. But
what do you do?
But he threw 60 yards off his knees, so
yeah, he did. I mean, but it was like the Raiders. I felt like for like so many years, it would be like they would draft like the guy that could throw the farthest and the guy that could run the fastest.
Always,
and
yeah.
That was like Michael Crabtree and whatever else.
They wanted the physical specimen, you know.
Yeah,
like
I mean, I get it. You want an athlete. But I mean, like the guy's got to be able to, you know, pull that shit off.
But what else can they do?
Shout out the baby just made it on the podcast. There we go.
I love it. There was a reason why I was talking about Al Davis, the Davis family.
Because of how he did Marcus Allen dirty.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yes. Oh, Marcus Allen. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, last time we won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was it. So, me growing up as a fan, like I just saw Raiders. Crushing,
yeah.
Lakers crushing, Dodgers crushing.
Oh, so, all at the same time.
So I really thought, yeah, Oral Hershiser, Kirk Gibson, that iconic freaking home run, you know?
Yeah.
I thought that.
He's running around the bases, pumping his freaking thing, you know?
I was led to believe that LA teams always win.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I thought that that's what happens with sports.
Oh, for sure.
You know what I mean? And, yeah. Like, anybody that grew up, like, in our age.
Yeah.
How could they think different?
Oh, yeah. And you know what's crazy? That's a super similar story like to mine.
Yeah.
Because, I told you, like, my first jersey ever was a Hot Settler jersey.
Yeah.
But my dad told me, he's like, dude, you don't have to cheer for my team. And I mean, what dad does that?
Right.
Right? And, biggest mistake of his life. Because I went completely the other way. Like, as, you know, I saw Jordan, so I started watching I started cheering for the Bulls.
Here we go.
And then now during that time, like, I was like, Brett Favre, like, became a Packer.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm a Packer fan now. But I've stuck with all my teams. But then even, like, in hockey, I was like, my dad doesn't watch hockey, so he's like, pick your own team. The Avalanche came to Southern, Colorado. Yeah. I was going to say Southern California. but to Colorado. And yeah. I was like, man, those jerseys are cool as shit. Joe Sakic is, like, the greatest guy ever. And Patrick Waugh is the greatest goalie of all time.
100%.
So I stuck with them. And then the Braves. I got to go to a Braves game as a kid, and I saw Trevor Jones hit a home run.
Oh, man.
So those are my teams. I know they're all everywhere. The only team I cheer for here is SC.
Yeah.
But still, it was like...
Interesting.
Yeah, but I've stuck with them ever since.
Dude,
through the bad times, the good times. And
that's the thing, man, is like you kind of... So 7 years behind me,
yeah,
you kind of grew up in an era where there wasn't really a home team.
Yeah.
You know?
No, and they weren't very good.
Yeah.
And it was just like I got to see somebody be like good, and I was like, oh, man, these guys are badasses.
God, see, and that's the thing. And so like I think that there's a lot of sports fans like yourself that... Like, grew up like, well, I want to cheer for somebody I like.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the home team who sucks ass.
Yeah, you know what's crazy? No, it wasn't even, I think it was pretty close to that, but it was mostly like, it was like that one player.
Dude, there, yeah.
Yeah,
or
it was
a player.
That one player. It was like Joe Sakic for the Avalanche and, Patrick Waugh too.
Yeah,
But Jordan. Favre, and then Chipper Jones.
Icons.
Yeah, and
sports icons.
The Braves are probably the team, though. Like, I was like, am I wearing my Avalanche hat? No, I think I'm wearing a brewery hat tonight.
Jeez.
But I was wearing, I have so many hats, I lose track. So. But I wear my Braves hat more than anything else because like that was kind of the team that I still, like, and I still follow all my teams. Like, I love
that's great.
Colorado and all that stuff. If I had to rank them, I'd go Braves, SC, Colorado, and then, like, Packers, and then Bulls. I still watch all of them.
That's cool.
I'll still watch all my teams, but it's honestly tough to stay up on everything.
That's the thing. So, like, you weren't old enough to see, like, the greatness of the Lakers.
No. I had to watch, later stuff when they played the Bulls in, like, 91.
Right. 91.
Yeah.
And there was a period of time where the Lakers sucked.
Yeah.
They were horrible in the 90s. They were horrible.
Yeah. It's
like, we have, like, Eldon Campbell and, like, Post-Magic. And,
Tony Vlade
Harvey
and all that
like,
stuff,
all these guys that are just coming in and out. We were horrible in the 90s.
Well, I remember watching
it. So you're like, why am I going to watch this?
Yeah, no, but I think because I remember, like, one of my first memories is watching Jordan when I was, like, 3 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was, like, but I remember watching, like, that's, like, a not a vivid memory.
Wow.
But like the most vivid memory is when they won that championship when against I was 4 years old in 91. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, telling my dad, ha ha.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. But I mean, I won't ever do that now. But as a kid, right. I was just like 4 years old. Like, yeah, we beat you.
So for me, like in my family,
yeah,
that was like the finals. Like that was it. We're that done. Was like,
the nail in the coffin.
So you were like, here we go. Yeah. And we're like, it's over.
Man, there goes that.
Because then after that, Magic and his AIDS thing. Dude, and then all, you know what I mean?
What did you think of Showtime when it came out?
The show?
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting because a lot of people have had different.
And then they canceled it.
I had a friend that actually was a costume designer.
Oh,
on
damn.
That. Yeah.
That's, well, I'm sorry that happened.
No. I mean, it's what it is. A lot of the old Laker heads, they were critical of it.
There was a,
you know what
ton
I mean? Like Jerry,
it,
Jerry West and this and that. You know, who knows, right? Who knows what really happened? Who knows how it went down? Who knows, like, the stories and all this and that? The fact that they're getting, like, razzed out of it makes you kind of think, like, well, shit.
I didn't think they were going to go that in depth.
You know what I mean? Maybe it
I don't
did
know
go
this
down.
Is true detective.
Maybe it did happen. You know? Yeah, exactly. I don't know. But I from an entertainment standpoint, I enjoyed it. I thought it was entertaining.
It was super fun.
Yeah,
like, I'd stop at like King Taco on my way home, 100%. Grab something, and then go home and watch an episode.
Why not?
I was like, now they ruined my Sundays because they canceled. Fuckers.
Exactly. No, I think it's cool. And shit, man, if I was part of that era, I would be. I think I'd be honored that somebody's making a TV show about me, you know?
Yeah, like, man.
Okay, so here's one.
Okay.
We're talking about quotes that you should trademark. I'm going to tell you one right now.
Okay.
This is my dad's.
I'm going to write this one down.
Okay,
I'm just kidding.
I'm going to shout out my dad, Joseph Rodriguez, for this one because I use it a lot. You ready for it?
Yeah.
Talk about me good, talk about me bad, just don't stop talking about me.
It sounds like a promo from WWE. And I love it, though, because I grew up a wrestling fan, and I still am a wrestling fan.
There it is.
So, did you ever watch wrestling as a kid?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I've been to two WrestleManias.
Nice.
Shawn Michaels is always my favorite.
Nice.
So, I went to WrestleMania 12, and I went to WrestleMania 31 when they did it at Santa Clara.
Wow.
It was a fun one.
WrestleFest, the video game, is actually my favorite video game of all time.
Classic.
You know.
One of the classics.
Yeah. I have a one-up arcade box that I modded just to get WrestleFest.
All right. So, I mean, I know we're going a little long, but and this is so fun for me, but I have to have you back on again. So, I mean,
I'm ready, man. Anytime you want. I want to be returned.
I appreciate it. Like, I mean, I'm actually, because you mentioned like Long Beach Beer Lab earlier, didn't you?
Long Beach.
No.
We'll be at Syncopated.
Syncopated. Okay.
Right.
But then you have something going on in Long Beach.
Oh, at the MOLA.
Yes.
Museum of Latin American Art on the 29th.
The 29th, okay.
For sure.
All right, awesome.
Yeah.
I'm going to remember, but just in case, just text me. Just in case, because sometimes we have
a few
beers.
Absolutely. I would love to do this again.
But this is super fun for me. It doesn't have to be that, obviously, that day, but we can...
Because
I think I'm recording with... Yeah, I'm recording at Long Beach Beer Lab on the 29th.
Yes.
Going back from the
In
dog.
Fact, I'm going to say it should not be the 29th.
Yeah.
Because we're going to have like 600 people.
You got like 37,000 people.
Yeah, I'll be like, hey, man, good to see you. Bye.
No, but man, this has been super fun for me. I really appreciate it. And
awesome.
I really appreciate the food. Like,
dude.
I had to save some.
My pleasure.
Not by choice. Not by choice.
Yeah.
But it was fucking delicious. And, man, just... Keep up the awesome work, brother.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
I feel like we could talk for like 3 or 4 hours.
We probably could.
Yeah.
Very easily.
Yeah, we might have to have one more beer before I leave.
I'm ready.
All right, well, cheers, brother.
All right. Now,
everybody stay tuned for the outro. Thank you again, Brian Rodriguez from Big Brian's Meats. Thank you to Lahara for over here in Norwalk off of Carmenita and Excelsior. Obviously, letting us come out here and record and do all that good stuff and just be able to enjoy one another's company. And have crush a couple brewskis.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Cheers, man.
All right, guys. I really hope you guys enjoyed the interview with Brian. Like I said, he was awesome. So if you ever get a chance, I know he does have the residency at Lahara, but he does go and do like have pop-ups over at Syncopated as well, and that's in Lakewood, California. So if you're in the area and maybe, you know, check out his Instagram, it's at Big Brian's Meats. Just a super nice guy. Like I said, I mean, and you want to support small business, you want to be able to go out there and, you know, help people out, you know, just continue to fulfill their dreams and stuff, man. So thanks again, Josh, for being on the intro and the outro. We'll, and we got a birthday party to go to, but we'll finish it with this this quote from a movie. A winner always wants the ball when the game's on the line. Jimmy McGinty, The Replacements. Have a good week, Tapper.